Hello and welcome to our site as we continue in our meditations in the letter of James in the New Testament. If you have your Bible handy, would you please turn there now as we look this morning at James chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 16 through to verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 16 through to about verse 25-26. You have it there in your Bible? Let's ask the Lord just to open the eyes of our understanding, that we may hear his word. Father God, we thank you that every scripture is God-breathed and useful for us, and so we pray that through your word once again this morning, you would teach us, instruct us, where necessary, correct us or reprove us. But thank you that your word gives us all that we need to be all that you want us to be. We thank you for this very practical, down-to-earth letter of the Apostle James, and pray, Lord, speak to us as we listen. Help us to hearken and obey to the glory of Christ our Saviour, the living Word. Amen. James chapter 1 then, and reading from verse 16. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So I've entitled our message for today, from this verse, Gaze, Remember, and Do. James is asking us this morning, and every day of our lives, to gaze deeply into the Word of God, to remember what it says, but not only to gaze and remember, but to do. Because if we're not doers of the word, then the word is not going to do us any good. If anyone considers himself religious, James says in verse 26, and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Just so far, and we ask God to speak to us through his word today. James has taught, as Peter and Paul taught, the gospel, the word of truth, that is the proclamation of Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, has brought about a new birth in the lives of his readers. The hearers who have responded to the good news about Jesus, who died and rose again for our salvation, have been born again. The living Word of God has produced a spiritual rebirth in the lives of those who have repented of their sins and placed their whole trust in Jesus for salvation. This Word of truth has the power to save you, says James, verse 21. The Apostle Paul put it this way to the Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for this good news is the power of God that leads to salvation, the salvation of all who believe. Now remember, when James is writing, the gospel is still being orally transmitted. The word about Jesus is being passed on by word of mouth, through preaching and teaching and witnessing. And so paying attention to the spoken word was absolutely crucial. There were no New Testaments written, no Bibles lying around with the complete canon of Scripture, as we have the privilege that we enjoy today. I have a lady in my congregation who is convinced that men have flaps in their ears. And when she wants her husband to truly hear what she is saying, she asks if his flaps are down, and if they're down, to please put his flaps up. And so now my wife does the same thing. If she has anything important that she wants me to hear, she says, "Dear, are your flaps down or up? Because if they're down, you better put them up and truly listen to what I'm saying." Now James is urging his readers to pay close attention to what he is writing. Take note of this, he says. God wants every one of us to live a righteous life. Therefore, every one of us should be quick to listen, carefully listening to the word of God, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. What is the context here, we need to ask? James is probably having the church service in mind, where believers are assembled for worship and instruction. The early church services were not as structured as ours usually are today. There was often, as we see in the Corinthian church, a high degree of participation. And Paul says to them in 1 Corinthians 14:26, "When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Take your turn so that the assembly of God's people can be edified, built up in their faith, and not confused by a cacophony of voices. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace." Now let's face it, in an unstructured service, worship service in the assembly of God's people, there can sometimes be more room for the Holy Spirit to work in power. Sometimes I think our services are so predictable and perhaps overstructured. But having an unstructured service, on the other hand, can also create a climate where abuse is possible. And this is the context in which James is speaking. So he is saying, think before you speak. It's a good rule not only in the assembly of God's people, but of course as a general principle of life. The Stoic philosopher Zeno said, "We have two ears and one mouth, therefore we should listen twice as much as we speak." The rabbis said, "We have two ears and one tongue, and the tongue is surrounded by a double row of teeth to hedge it in." Kent Hughes gives us some good advice here. Perhaps you may need it as much as I do. First of all, we must work at truly listening to others. Listening requires an intense interest in the other person. This requires eye contact. I might add here, the trouble with us men is that the only time we look in the mirror is when we shave, and even then we don't make eye contact. Listening well requires eye contact and sensitivity to the speaker's gestures and moods and silences. Then secondly, we must limit our exposure to visual media. Again, I might add, especially during lockdown, during this viral pandemic that we're all still struggling with. If we don't control our time, the screen will do it for us and impair our ability to hear God. Thirdly, we must meditate in the Word of God. Meditation in the Word of God develops our listening skills. Fourthly, we must learn to slow down. We can't listen properly when we're in a hurry. And fifthly, we must prepare our hearts and minds. Someone said, I think rightly, the most stressful time in the week for many Christian families is trying to get the family ready for Sunday worship service. Well, the ever-so-practical pastor, James, is saying here that we must keep at it, learning to listen. The second of our little triple duties, according to James, is to be slow to speak. We must be quick to listen. Secondly, slow to speak. Don't interrupt in the middle of a sentence. Don't interrupt when somebody else is giving a word from the Lord in context. But as a general principle, don't interrupt when another person is in the middle of their sentence, something that I have to admit I'm in the habit of doing. Solomon said, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." I mustn't be so quick to promote my opinions and verdicts all the time. Be slow to speak, says the Apostle James. The third of the triple duties of the righteous person who lives a life that is pleasing to God is to be slow to get angry. I'm sure COVID-19 has given me a shorter fuse than I had before I got the virus. James knew even Christians can display anger, even in a church service when they either don't get the chance to speak or speak out in anger when they do, turning God's lighthouse into a towering inferno, or leaving the deacon's meeting with cheeks flushed and slamming the door behind them. And so an angry spirit is never a listening, submissive, and teachable spirit. We all know that, don't we? We know it from experience. An angry spirit is never a listening, submissive, and teachable spirit. The rationale behind this triple duty is that when we are quick to listen, and slow to speak, and slow to get angry, we are positioned to grow in godliness or godlikeness. Two more things must be added to the list, James says. Verse 21, one is negative, one is positive. To bring about the righteous life that God desires, here is the negative. You have to get rid of everything that is immoral or evil. Every day, as believers in our world, a world that is fallen and corrupted, every day we are surrounded by immorality and wickedness of one kind or another. But James is saying, don't let these things ever be a part of your life. And if any of them are, whether it's watching things you shouldn't be watching, or listening to things that you shouldn't be listening to, or doing things that you shouldn't be doing, stop it. Get rid of it, says the Apostle James. Then you will be ready to accept the word of God that will deliver you from evil and empower you to be righteous. So here's the first thing. Do everything you need to do so that you can humbly accept, that is, receive the word of God into the totality of your being. Understand it and let it saturate your being. That is a life-changing experience. Beth Moore, the very well-known ladies' Bible teacher, relates how that when, as a person who'd had a history of abuse, she came to know Jesus and was awakened to the truth of the Word of God, she soaked her soul in the Scriptures, and through saturating her mind in the Word of God, she was able to renew her mind and live in victory. Someone said the devotional prayer of the modern person, with cell phone in one hand and laptop in the other, is, "Speak, Lord, you have 60 seconds." Sadly, visual media has resulted in people having a very short attention span. We will never grow to maturity, friends, until we discipline ourselves to say with an unhurried and submissive spirit, in the words of the old hymn writer, "Speak, Lord, in the stillness, while I wait on thee. Hushed my heart to listen in expectancy." Samuel Chadwick used to say, "Hurry is the death of prayer." And now James comes into his own as we look at verses 22 to 25. Let me read them to you again. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. The logic is simple. If we truly accept God's word, that is, if we hear it and allow it to saturate our mind and heart and being, we will also do it. We will become doers of the word. If we truly receive the word of God, we will do the word of God. If not, James says we're like a man who has a quick shave but soon forgets what he really looks like. And that can and does happen. I want to tell you about a pastor who got up in the morning, and when he looked in the mirror to shave, he saw that a section of his hair was sticking up into the air as he had been sleeping awkwardly, obviously on his pillow, and he tried to push it down, but it wouldn't go down. And having watched his wife on occasions do her hair after washing it, he secretly went and got one of his wife's plastic hair curlers and the plastic hairpin, and he took that piece of hair that was sticking up and he curled it around the plastic hair curler just like he'd seen his wife doing, and he pushed the plastic pin in and went down to get a quick breakfast, grabbed his briefcase and papers, and off he went. A busy day, one appointment after the other, one meeting after the other. He got home in the evening. His wife took one look at him and said, "Darling, what's that stupid curler doing in your hair?" The Bible is like a mirror. It shows us what we really like, and then it helps us to become what we ought to be, full grown, mature in Christ. But the only way to grow to maturity in Christ is to do what the Bible says. So James enjoins us to be intentional in our study of the Word of God. The word he uses in verse 29 literally means to stoop down and to gaze into the Word of God, bend over, pore over it, study it. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to be a student who is approved by God, rightly interpreting the Word of God. That takes time. Look at what James calls the Word, the perfect law that gives freedom. What an amazing expression, the perfect law that gives freedom. How can law give freedom? We always think law does exactly the opposite, puts us into bondage. But think about it. Keeping God's laws of right living lead to freedom, not bondage. Liberty. The Word of God, when planted in our soul, as James puts it, given a chance to grow, produces the fruit of freedom, of liberty, of joy and peace. The Bible will do that. The Bible will do what all the Red Bull in the world cannot do. It'll give you wings. Those who hope in the Lord, says the prophet Isaiah, will mount up as on eagle's wings. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. The Lord gives you strength, enables you to soar on wings like an eagle when you saturate your soul in the word of truth. It is the royal law. The royal law of our King produces freedom. Consider, for example, the law of marriage as an illustration. When husband and wife are unconditionally committed to their marriage vows, the result is love. The result is joy. The result is peace. The result is faithfulness and self-control. In a word, the result is freedom, blessed freedom. Oh, my friend, if you don't know it, it's so liberating to know that Elaine and I don't have to doubt or question our love for each other every day, whether we might be betrayed or abandoned, separated or deserted, in a time of sickness or need, or as we grow old and perhaps we're not just as blossoming as we used to be. The commitment to love and to cherish, to honor and obey, actually gives freedom, a joy that no cheap relationship could ever get close to. Isn't it the same with parenting? Haven't you found that as parents? It is the discipline of fair, just, wholesome, sensible rules and regulations that produce a sense of freedom in the family. If you don't know where your children are, if you don't know what they're doing, if you don't know what they're up to, that creates anxiety, bondage, slavery. But when your son says, "Dad, I'm off to soccer practice and I'll be back at 5:30, that gives you a feeling of liberty. You know where he is, you know what he's doing, you know when he'll be home. The alternative is parental anxiety and stress and bondage. So the royal law of our King Jesus, when we obey it, when we do the word of God, the result is wonderful freedom. It's like a train. If that train is derailed, there's no longer freedom. But as long as the train stays on the rails, it can make progress and it can make it beautifully. James is simply teaching once again, of course, what his elder brother Jesus taught. When you hear the word of God and obey it, you are richly blessed. Luke 11 and verse 28. James is interpreting the Mosaic law, the law that God gave to Moses in the wilderness. James is interpreting that Mosaic law through the lens of Jesus' teaching. And Jesus was simply teaching what his Father in heaven had taught Moses 16 centuries before. Deuteronomy 8:3, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." It's the same principle. Fulfillment, freedom, joy, fullness. That comes when we take in the Word of God, gaze into the Word, remember what it says, and then put it into practice. "The Word must be in your mouth and in your heart," God said to Moses, and Moses said to the people. "These are not just idle words for you. They are your life." Deuteronomy 32:47. "By them you will live long and inherit all that God has promised." So do not merely listen to the word, James says. Do what it says, and you will be richly blessed. "In keeping your words there is great reward," the psalmist says. That word saves, verse 21. That word sets you free, verse 25. Gaze into God's word, remember God's word, and do God's word. If you do not do this as a regular habit, may I challenge you to not only read God's word, meditate in it, but memorize it. If you can remember scripture after scripture that you have memorized through the years, I can assure you, if you've not experienced this before, that when things get tough, when you're facing opposition, when life is difficult and you're having a hard time, or perhaps you find you're being oppressed as a target of the enemy, Satan, as Jesus did in his victory over Satan, the word that the Holy Spirit quickens to you can be a sword of the Holy Spirit to defeat the enemy. But that can only happen, dear friend, as you not only meditate in the Word of God, but memorize the Word of God. Memorize as much Scripture as you possibly can. And that Word, when in time of need, the Holy Spirit is able to enlighten, quicken, bring to mind, reawaken and enliven in your spirit, and you're able to declare that Word, proclaim that Word, believe that word, stand on that word. That is part of the armor of God to be able to live victoriously. It's not just hearing the word of God or reading the word of God. It's letting that word saturate your being and letting that word be available to the Holy Spirit of God. And the more the Holy Spirit has available to him the word of God, that saturates your being and that has been memorized in your brain, so the more the Holy Spirit of God is able to fire you up for full, free, victorious Christian living. Jeremiah said, His word is in my bones like a fire, and I'm weary with holding it in, and I cannot. What a blessing to know the word of God, and with the grace of God and the Holy Spirit's enabling, to live according to the word of God. That is real Christianity. That's what James is about. Don't just hear the word. Remember the word and do the word. I wonder what God is saying to you this morning. Is there a debt you must settle? Is there a relationship you need to restore? Is there a phone call you need to make? Is there an email or a text that you need to send? Is there a sin that you need to confess? Is there something that you need to put right as the Holy Spirit speaks to you this morning? Do it, and you will be blessed. Gaze, remember, do. Gaze daily into the Word of God. Remember what the Lord is saying to you, and then do it. This is real Christianity, according to James. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you this morning that once again we are privileged to have an open Bible and the Holy Spirit, the author of this word, to interpret it to us. And we thank you for these simple lessons this morning, simple and yet so profoundly essential in our daily Christian walk. We thank you that your word is living and powerful, that the entrance of your word gives light. But give us the grace to walk in that light. Thank you that if we walk in the light as you're in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, your Son, continually cleanses us from all sin. So help us to do what James says, and to get rid of all moral filth and anything that would offend you or be a hindrance in our relationship with you, dear Lord, and grant that we, as true sons of the living God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, may walk in the victory, the liberty and the freedom, the joy and the fruitfulness of those who not only hearken to the word of God, but obey it. Thank you, dear Lord, that as we obey, you reveal, and as we obey, you reveal more, and we're able to grow and advance to maturity in Christ, as the word implanted in us is allowed to bear its fruit, the fruit of the life, character, fullness, freedom, and joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for Christ in us, the hope of glory. We thank you that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. We thank you that as believers we've been raised up with Christ and made to sit with him in heavenly places. Thank you that we are blessed in Christ with every blessing of the Spirit. So take our lives this morning and consecrate us to yourself, we pray. Sanctify us wholly in spirit and soul and body. Fill us anew, precious Holy Spirit, and grant us the grace to walk in the truth and to glorify your name through Christ our Redeemer. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other Jesus, but to trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. And 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Lord, oh, for grace to trust.